Blog Talk Radio.
When you want to know the news, they got the radio blues. From the question of the day to the rants and the raves, got your favorite thing going.
It's a Hooper Thing.
Nobody does it like you do.
It's a Hooper Thing.
Listen in and we can prove it. It's all.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome back to HTR Hooper Thing Radio. Hooper Thing Radio. But this is a modern day faith-based show. We can talk about pretty much anything and keep a God-like and just keep the spirit high and let us know nowadays that we can still serve the Lord and keep it moving. So on today's show is about spirituality nowadays. And we will be interviewing our very own in-house minister. You guys hear her every week. We love her every week. She brings something profound every week. Minister Paula.
Hooray! Yay!
See, even the kiddies love her. Y'all know I love the kiddies on the show. So, you guys are tuning in for the first time. My name is D-Ran, a.k.a. The Risk Taker. Woo-woo! And back, she wasn't here last week, is Vivian the Mogul. What's up, Viv?
Hey, everybody. Hey.
What up? And, of course, he's here every week. Every week. No, just kidding. Jamal, the hardworking prankster. What's up, Jamal?
Hey, what's going on?
If you want to know more information about our show and what we do here at Hooper Thing Radio, you can go visit our website at hooperthingradio.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and Instagram because, you know, we pop it like that. You can hashtag Hooper Thing Radio if you want to. And then also, you want to call into the show and be involved in the show, you guys can call in at 347-324-5098. Again, that's 347-324-5098. So, Bev, you wasn't here last week. You took a little break, a little hiatus. What you been up to? What you been doing?
Oh, man, we've had some great weather in Texas. So I have been outside working out. Just enjoying the sun. I missed y'all. Did y'all miss me?
A little bit. Lisa held it down, though.
That's okay. I didn't think Lisa didn't hold it down. Missing me has... this is what's wrong with our men of today. Missing Lisa. I mean, missing me has nothing to do with enjoying Lisa.
Oh, here we go, soul sister. Go ahead. Come on, preach.
Now, let me go ahead. What I missed.
Yes.
So
that's
you,
that's why he got a wife, D-Ran, and you don't.
That was
that's
a fake
exactly
yes ever.
No, it
was.
Hey,
but I tell you what, Lisa knows how to handle D-Ran.
Does she? I wish I could have heard.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes, D-Ran. He was just in the background.
Yeah, whatever.
I wish I could have heard it.
Okay.
He tucked his tail between. Was he blowing his little whistle?
Trying to.
You got haters, whatever. We did miss you. I missed you. Auntie Lisa did hold it down, but we did miss you. Hope that makes you feel better. If that helps you sleep at night, because that is what happens. But we got to keep the show moving, and we have Minister Paula coming on for her first, because she's coming on later for the interview, right? But right now she's coming on to bring us What's the Word, a.k.a. Word of the Week. And y'all know what that sound means, to have several seats, grab your Bible app, and receive the Word of the Week.
What's the word? The word for the day is strength for the journey. Have you ever had an experience that seemed to come straight out of left field and throw you a loop? Perhaps it left you shaken and full of questions. I can remember a time I was at a red light, and I heard all these screeching brakes, and all of a sudden, bam, right into the back of my car. What an experience. Came right out of left field. Something I wasn't even expecting. What do I do now? Do I call the police? Do I call the insurance company? Do I call my husband? What do we do? We don't know what to do. But one thing I found is that we have to have strength for the journey, because during our lives, we're going to have things that happen to us that we don't understand, we don't know where they came from. But we have to have strength to keep going on and moving on, because it's so easy for us to just say, I just give up. I can't deal with this, and I can't deal with that. But the God that we serve is not a kind of God that overlooks us. He has everything made in our plan. We have a lot of misgivings about what God can do for us. We need to change our attitudes and start looking at the strength that he gives us. He knows what lies ahead, and the only thing we have to do is trust him and believe that he's going to work everything out. I was just having service on Sunday, and I was seeing sometimes in order for us to move ahead, we have to let go and let God. And for most of us, that's one of the most difficult situations that we can be in, to let go and let God. Because we want to help God, and God does not need our help. We will mess things up if we didn't have God. But we need strength for the journey so that when we get to that point, we can let go and let God and continue to go forth and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. We can embark on any journey knowing that we are loved by God and fully equipped for the road ahead. Dear Jesus, teach me to stop and have faith in you and obedience to you and step in your faith and obedience as a Christian should. That's the word, strength for your journey.
Amen.
Wow, amen.
Another good word. What I got from that, man, is there's multiple things. First thing is faith. And so you got to have faith without a reasonable doubt. And the second thing I got from that is just not getting in the way of your own blessing. And also, at the same, and the third thing I got from that is thanking God in the midst of all things, the good and the bad, because everything happens for a reason. You know, like you said, you'll get hit right in the back by another car, and all of a sudden you're like, why me? Like, I thought I did good this week. I was doing this and I was paying attention. You automatically just start blaming stuff when you need to start thanking the Lord and rejoicing, because everything is for a reason.
Yeah. That was, don't take nothing for granted. Don't take nothing for granted. You keep moving, you keep pressing. It's so funny that was the word this week, because by the time Tuesday comes, I think I said this before, Tuesdays and Sundays. Tuesdays is when I do the show. Sundays, of course, I go to church. And Wednesdays is when I go to Bible study. But sometimes it happens on Wednesday, sometimes not. But on Tuesdays and Sundays, I get very exhausted. Like, I get super tired when I wake up in the morning, super tired throughout the day. And it's like a struggle, just them 2 days alone. Any other day is fine. And so when I start thinking about it and praying about it, it was like, okay, it's the devil trying to attack me, because that's when I'm, you know, trying to be inside my word the most, be in tune with God the most, once I'm doing the show and I'm going to church. And so that word always sinks into me, and I love it, and I just keep moving forward with it. Thank you, Minister Paula.
Amen. And I think we always try to push and forge and push and forge, and sometimes we just have to be still and just let him be our strength. And what I got from it was, you know, you got all this stuff happening, and, you know, you're running, you're trying, because we're an instant society, so we always have an answer right there. A microwave, your cell phone, everything happens instantly. What I got from it was, sometimes things are going to happen. Breathe, and it's, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. You'll make it out of it. It's not the end of the world. If you come back to the present moment, he's going to strengthen you. You'll be fine. He's going to figure it out. He's already figured it out. You just have to wait for it to come to pass. So it's always a blessing. I feel like right now we should take up a donation. Please go to your PayPal account. I'll pass your pay. These words have been a blessing to your soul. D-Rand is not paying us for this show.
Listen, OK, okay? The paychecks is right. The paychecks has got is my love and affection for you all. You all need to know.
Moving on.
And it's coming up soon. It's NSF. I don't feel the love. You didn't miss me. But thank you, Minister Paula. I needed that.
Just remember, Jesus paid it all. So Duran doesn't owe us anything.
There
we
go.
He doesn't owe you anything, Minister Paula. You've arrived. I'm not what would Minister Paula do. You need to pray for me. I'm still coming up short. I'll take Minister Paula's portion.
Listen, me and Minister Paula's on the same page. I owe you nothing. Listen, go ahead, Minister Paula. Go ahead.
Oh,
well, we'll talk to you later. We'll talk to you later on in the show, Minister Paula, for the interview. I'm excited, so just stay tuned. So for those of you who've been listening to the show since season one, you guys are familiar with this question, and I thought it was actually a good question to bring back from season one. We never usually brought a question back, but the question is, if you could ask God one question in person, what would you ask him? So basically, if he came to your doorstep or you was at the bus stop or at work or something, and God just like stepped up to you, tapped you on your shoulder, and was like, what's up? What you got to ask me? What would you ask him?
Well, you know, what I would ask him is there anything I can do to serve the kingdom of God better?
Wow. What made you say that? What made you ask that?
I didn't think about that. We can go in our everyday life. We can go in our everyday life thinking that we're doing it right and be doing it so wrong. So I would want to ask him, is there anything that I can do to serve the kingdom of God better? And if he tells me I'm doing a good job, then that right there speaks for itself. If he corrects me and shows me what I'm doing, where I'm able to straighten up, because I could be think I'm doing something good and going down the wrong path, whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, so yours is kind of a little bit like mine then, because I would ask him to just reveal the
things. No. Mine is mine. Yours
nothing.
Is yours.
Right. Come on.
Oh, my God.
What would you ask our Heavenly Father? God comes to your daughter tonight, and says, my child.
Because he needs it. He's a heathen.
Would you turn off VH1 and receive him today?
No. I
Would I ask God
is could he reveal any areas of my life that I may not know of consciously that I need to work on? So, like, we think, that's what I said, mine's kind of on the lines of Jamal, because sometimes we move forward and we think certain areas we have to focus on. Like my minister, a minister at church Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday, and I go up for prayer every once in a while, and frequently I go up for prayer when they do altar call, and just to get prayed over. And so she told me, I don't know how she phrased it, I can't remember how she phrased it, but she was like, you keep going up for prayer for a breakthrough that you've already gotten. Mm-hmm. You know, so sometimes we keep focusing on this one area or these couple of areas, you know, trying to fix it, when it's okay, where is that right then and there? But we're lacking other areas because we're so focused on if it's finances or if it's this or if it's that. We focus on these areas. We keep praying to keep doing this just in this area alone. So we forget about other areas of our lives, the smallest areas that we may not even think about. So I would ask him to reveal them areas to me.
Okay. I'm impressed, Jamal. Aren't you impressed?
Whatever.
I'm sorry, I was watching TV. What'd you say, Duran?
Shut up. What would you ask of Vivian? I know, right? He's just
you know, I thought about this, and I wanted to come up with what I really, you know, think that I would say. I don't think I would ask anything. I think I would just sit in his presence. I don't think it's something to get from God that, like, I think on a daily we talk too much. I think he tries to always tell us something. So if I had a face-to-face, God just revealed himself in the flesh or whatever, I would just sit there and I wouldn't have anything to say. I would just try to absorb whatever. Like Moses with the burning bush, I would just sit at the bush and just revel in it. I would just let him reveal whatever he wants to reveal.
So you would just sit still.
Yep.
I know back in the first season.
The way he said that, So you just sit still like this, be sitting there. You ain't gonna say nothing. Like you ain't gonna like, hey God.
Yeah, I mean, to each his own. That's why I say that. That's why I go back to it.
Young people.
Oh,
This is it. You are still at an age where you think, and this is really Duran. I don't know, Jamar. I don't know if you stood up, but to jump up and grab, you got to get it. The older you get, the more you realize that there's nothing to go and get. It all comes to you. It's already in you. All it has to do is be revealed to you. So it's nothing to go and get. Michael Franks had a song. It was there all along on the inside. You know, so everything you need is already in you. So it's not a matter of me asking him anything. It's just a matter of it being revealed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hey, now
I understand.
Make sure. She hit a stone. But she also dropped some pearls on you at the same time. So you got a one in a million life chance right there.
Listen, what? Okay. Just make sure them
that's
songs are short because, you know, we got to pay for them songs after they're about 30 seconds here on the show. So make sure them songs are short.
So
we're going to go to a break. And when we come back from this break, we're going to have Minister Paula again. And I am so excited about this. We're all excited about this. So just make sure you stay tuned because we come back. We're going to have Minister Paula. We have a ton of questions for her, and it's going to be a very hot commodity interview. So just stay tuned because when we come back, we'll have Minister Paula. We're here. We're back. It's a Hooper thing. So we're back. Go to HooperThingRadio.com if you want to know more information about the show, about what we do here. If you want to call in and talk about anything on the show, it's 347-324-5098. So it is the moment we have all been waiting for Minister Paula. Minister Paula is an ordained minister in the AME Church since 1980. She has also served as the pastor of Lee's Chapel AME Church, the youth pastor at St. James AME, and the assistant pastor at St. Andrew's AME in Youngstown, Ohio, St. Paul's AME in Columbus, Ohio, and is currently the assistant pastor at St. John's AME, Columbus, Ohio. She also has a bachelor's degree in criminal justice and corrections from Youngstown State University. So she can read you the word, and she can correct you, too, if you're being bad. So remember that, okay? She is a former juvenile and adult parole officer, and she retired, in 2012, as a chief hearing officer with the Ohio Parole Board. Her motto is, if I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living should not be in vain. So let's give a hearty, hearty welcome to Minister Paula.
Yay!
How are you, Minister Paula?
I'm doing great.
So we're going to go right ahead and go with the interview. We have nine questions for you. We have a long interview scheduled today, but we have some breaks in between this interview. And we broke it up into three segments. One is questions about the church. The second segment is questions about being a Christian. And then the third segment is specific questions that the co-hosts have for you, Minister Paula.
Okay.
So the first segment is questions about the church. And so I guess I'll go first. And my question is, for me being a young person, what I noticed is that there are not that many youth. The youth is dying in the church nowadays. Why do you think nowadays there are not so many youth people going to church?
Well, I think that when I reflect backwards, when I was coming up, one thing, we didn't have anything else to do but go to church. Now you have so many things for young people to be involved in, and you have a lot of people who participate in sports, and they have a lot of times these sports activities or practices on Sunday.
And so that takes the young people away from the church. Churches don't have enough programs to draw the young people in. What churches have to understand is that they have to have something that the young people like to do. They have to show the young people that they can come to church and still have a good time and still praise God. And also, our kids are not being taught. Our parents are not sitting down and teaching us about God and why we should go to church and what the importance of being in church is all about. We used to love going to church. That gave us a chance to meet people. Now we have technology where we don't need to talk to anybody because we've got our cell phones and our tablets and all those. And the one thing, the other thing that I find that takes our young people away is that the people in the church are not living the life that they're talking about. And if we're going to, you know, one of the things that I find is that you ever set up in church and the kids' choir singing and the kids are chewing gum and the older people want to start criticizing it. And my thing to the older people is that they saw you doing it, so they're doing it.
Right.
So when you sit up there and you act like you're all holier than thou, and then you go to the churches out, you cussing somebody out and not speaking to somebody, what kind of example are we showing our children?
Right.
We're supposed to be examples because whatever you, I don't care what you believe, there's a child that's watching everything that you do. And they, how do you think they justify what we do? So those are a lot of things that I think that, if our kids can find something better to do, they go to church and listen to something boring. You know, we got to let our kids get in there. We don't want them to rap. Well, you got to bring them in and let them rap. Let them dance. Let them do their own Christian dance.
Right.
Let them
express
themselves. It's not always about us, but it's about getting them in there. And because, believe me, there are some churches that are taking our children away. And a lot of them aren't the right type. A lot of them are cults and whatnot. But we have to show them the importance of being in church. Let them express themselves. In a way in which they feel comfortable.
Right. So you're saying that the church has to evolve. The evolution of the church has to keep up with the evolution of society. It's
still
outdated. Wow. Good.
I'm happy you said that because that's basically what this show represents. If you still try to use the same tactics, traditions, and I'm not talking about the law, but I'm talking about traditions from 1940 and 2014 or 15, then that's, you know, then it will. That's how you lose people, and so that's exactly what this show represents. So I'm happy that you said that.
Okay, Mr. Paula, I have a question for you. My question to you is: why is there more women in the church instead of men?
Well, if you look in the Bible, you can always find that women were the back. And one thing I find with men in the church is that, and it may sound strange to some people, but I have a strong belief, and this is just my belief. A lot of men don't go to church because, for some reason, they feel that the women in the church are drawn into the church because of the minister, and that the minister can dictate to them, whereas the minister can't dictate to a man. And in the black community, men believe that they are the head of the household. They are the leader. They're not a follower. And they believe that one of the things that they're supposed to do is to take care of their family. And therefore, if they have to work, or maybe that's their time of rest because they've been working 7 days a week and they need that time to work, they tend not to think of church being one of those things that they have to do. But it's up to the people within the church, the other men of the church, as well as the pastor of the church, to have activities that bring men in. You know, men aren't the type of people like women are. Women like to be with the sisters in the church because they can communicate with each other. You know, men, they feel a little inferior if they have to depend on somebody that they got to go talk to. They don't like to talk to anybody.
They don't. Yeah. And that's what, I'm sorry, but I think you got to answer this. How do we lead people to Christ then? How do we get more men or the kids, or how do we change that? How do we lead them to Christ?
Well, one of the ways that I think is that you have to live a life, and that's with both men and women. If people don't like what they see, they're not going to come. People are
people can identify hypocrites.
And yeah. They don't, yes, they can.
Somebody doing something, and you've got to have something for men to do. You have to have a men's ministry set up where men can come together and realize, man, you know, I'm going through some of these things, and maybe this is not a bad place. But men want to be there, but for some reason they just take a back seat. And men don't like, they're not as easy to go forward and do things as women. But I think that if we can just get them, you know, one of the things I found in my church, the kids are what brings the parents in, especially the fathers. Let the kids sing in the choir and get excited about it, or usher on the usher board, or, you know, in our church we have Youth Sunday every second Sunday, and the young people in charge of the service. So, you know, just to know that my son is reading the scriptures this Sunday, I'm going to go. And you have to do things like that. You have to do things where men feel comfortable. And several group of men, I'm finding that more of your men between the ages of maybe 35 to 50 are really trying to get involved with the church now because they see that need. Maybe come up with a basketball team or something just to get them completely involved. That may or may not encourage them to become involved and see. But the other thing is you can't just sit up there and preach. You gotta live the life because
that's what it comes back to. That's what it comes back to. So, our next segment, those are the questions about the church, and fantastic. Like, my phone and my emails are blowing up, like, as you're talking, and people are like, oh, my gosh, wow, it's fantastic. The next subject we're going into is about being a Christian. So these questions pertain to being a Christian in general. And so for me, the question that I would like to ask is, how do you find the balance between telling someone the truth, which is God's word, not your truth, but God's word, and offending them?
Well, one thing I find is that truth is always offends people. If you try to tell somebody, it always offends them. You know, we don't want to hear the truth. Mm-hmm. It's hard for us to think that, you know, it's hard for anybody to tell me what's wrong with me. Because I don't see the same thing that you see. And you have to understand that, you know, you always tell the truth about your walk with God. That's the way you get people to understand what it's all about. If God has been good to you, you need to tell somebody that he's been good to you and talk about him and worship him and not worry about whether these people are going to get offended, because most of the time the people that get offended are the people that you're telling the truth to and they don't want to hear it.
Right.
Mm. Wow.
That's true, though. The truth can be a powerful thing.
It can. Okay, so I gave up caffeine and coffee. I'm not Catholic, but I take something, and my girlfriend and I decided to give up caffeine for Lent. And so the purpose of fasting, when somebody asks me, okay, so you're fasting, or if you know, if you fast food or you fast the internet or whatever, what is the purpose behind fasting and what's the proper way to do it?
Well, number one, there's so many different types of fasting, and people fast for various reasons. But some of the main reasons why people fast is because they want to, fasting has to be from the heart. In order for the Lord to accept it, it must be done by faith and line up with the scriptures and must be in the will of God. Fasting cannot be done as, you know, some people say, well, I'm a fast today because I heard that if you fast, the Lord will supply your needs. Well, the Lord always said he supply our needs, but if you don't have to fast for him to do it, and you don't have to tell everybody that you're fasting. You know, that's what something that's supposed to be an inward thing. You can
right.
So don't be manipulative.
Fasting is a way in which it cleanses our soul.
Yes.
It's a way in which we get cleansed, and it cleanses our mind, our body, and our soul, and we have a closer relationship with God. It helps to get rid of all the toxins and the unclean spirits that a lot of us have. And when we make up our mind that we want to fast, There's no right way to do it, and there's no wrong way to do it. But the main thing we have to understand is that when we do it with a spirit, the right spirit. Mm-hmm. And every year, I would give up something for Lent. And when we talk mm-hmm. about giving up something for Lent, that is supposed to be a sacrifice, something that a lot of times we don't think we can do without.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sacrificial mm-hmm. thing to say, God, I'm willing to give up. You know, it's just like when they went to sacrifice, when he went to sacrifice his son, God told him to take his son up to the mountaintop and sacrifice
mm-hmm.
him.
Oh,
and
yeah,
said,
yeah.
You know, that was a sacrifice.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, caffeine is for me, too, Miss Paula.
Yeah.
I mean, that coffee ain't no joke.
It's for me. And, you know, and,
I'm in the same boat with you, Vivian.
And a lot of times you find that once you give it up for those 40 days, you realize you don't need it.
I need it.
Mm-hmm.
I need it. And see, I you keep praying and God will put something else in your life that's
yeah.
even better for you.
Like
and, you know, there ends up being 10 different types of, I could talk about fasting for a long time. The Bible tells about 10 different types of fasting that they had in the Bible. And it talks about all the types of fasting that people did. You know, fasting from food and water can be used to show repent to prevail against the enemy. You know, one of the best ways, you have problems on your job, somebody don't like you, you get with some people that, real people that know how to pray and know how to fast, and you see what happens.
Oh, okay. So we're going to go and take a break right now. We're going to come back. We have one more segment left, a part of this interview, and that's we're going to ask specific questions tailored to each co-host. And we have a couple of callers who want to call in and ask you some questions, too. So we're going to go to a quick break, come back with our questions, and then we'll be able to take it to the phone. So if you want to ask
okay.
Mr. Paul some questions, make sure you press 1, get your questions ready, and you guys can ask her some. So stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody, to Hooper Thing Radio, which is a modern-day faith-based show. We're actually in the middle of our interview with our very own ordained minister, Paula. We already asked her questions about the church, and we asked her questions about being a Christian. And she gave us, before the break, was the 10 types of fast that it talks about in the Bible. And so we're going to put them on Facebook so I can know them all, too, so we can all know them all. But this next round of questions that we're going into are specific questions from the co-hosts. And then right after that, we're going to go ahead and take it to the phone so you guys can be able to ask her some questions also. So I guess I'll go first. And Minister Paula, my question is, I'm in my 20s, so if you were to look back into your 20s, what spiritual advice would you have for anybody in their 20s now?
Stay rooted and grounded in what you believe. And know what you know and who you know. Because I'm reminded that that is a real rough period in a person's life in their 20s. And
mm-hmm.
I found that the only way I could distinguish what was good for me and what was bad for me was to stay rooted and grounded in what I had been taught and I had learned, because that's the only way you're going to make it. And stay prayerful and in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. So, for me, I know it seems like the higher I go, and we'll talk about it later or more in the show, but the higher I go in God or in the church, sometimes the lonelier I feel. Is that normal?
Yep. Nobody's
Why is that?
Because people are afraid. they don't want the turnout. They think that people have a misconception about what religion is all about. And they're afraid that they have to give up life. And I try to explain to them, no, God has put all sorts of things here for us to enjoy. That doesn't mean that we have to give it up. It's just like a person tells me, oh, girl, I can't give up drinking. Well, it's not about giving up drinking. It's about how much you consume when you drink. And the things that you do that are negative from your consumption. But people are just afraid that they can't live the life that they want to live and live the life that God wants them to live. It's a totally different in life. But what I have found is that God has put so much more into me that I didn't know I had, because I was trying to keep from living the way I should have been living and trusting in Him and believing in Him and trying to please my friends. And when you're trying to please your friends and you're trying to live His life, something's got to give. And all I can tell you is this: you might feel lonely now, but better days are ahead, because you're going to find that you're going to have so many people around you and so many people that love and care about you and the right people. He has to put the right people in your life. And until the right people are there, what we think are the right people are not the right people according to God. And so we just have to wait and let Him surround us with the people that we need to be surrounded by. Because, you know, I got to a point where as long as I was doing the things that my friends or so-called friends were doing, I was cool. But when I started to live the life that God wanted me to live, I didn't have nobody. But now I got so many people, I wish I could give them away.
Right. Hey, Mr. Paul, I got a question for you.
And
the question I have for you: how would one know if they should become minister, like, or a pastor? Is it like a dream or a vision? Because as a kid, when I was 5 years old, I had this recurring dream over and over. And it was me standing up at a podium talking to a lot of people. I mean, there were so many people. After you look so far, you saw the top of their head. And I had that dream all the way up till I was about 15. And just last year, my brother shared with me that he had that same dream, but he was standing next to me while I was out there giving a speech to these people. And I don't know what it was, but I just remember that dream as a kid.
For me, every time I got a chance to, when I was little, I would put on a choir robe and set up in the kitchen and pretend like I was a priest. And you know, I was like, I'm going to tell you something I can do. I'm too wild to want to do something like that. But I found myself being put in positions where people were always asking me to speak for young people and teach Sunday school and get involved with the church more and more. And I'm like, that's not me. On Saturday nights, I ain't got time to be bothered with these kids and going to church. And I don't go to no Bible study. But then I found myself, you know, doing the things that I said I wasn't going to do and being revealed to me. And my whole life started just to change right in front of me. And I finally made a commitment that I said, you know, I was in a church service. And I guess one of my favorite hymns is "All to Jesus I Surrender." But I didn't understand what it meant until one day the choir was singing that song, and I found myself, tears running down my cheeks, and, you know, I'm moving toward the front of the church, and I'm wondering, every step I took forward, I took another one back, because I was like, this is not me. And I think that it's a situation where only you know, because God has a way of, you know, He don't come right out and say, this is what you're going to do. I mean, He didn't do that with me. It just put me in position that I didn't understand why I was there, what I was doing. And then when I made that commitment, it was like, man, is this what you have for me to do? Why me? But yet I couldn't stop. It wouldn't allow me to stop. And I just had to keep going forward. And every step I took, and I was met by a lot of opposition because in our church, women were not, you know, welcomed in really well.
Okay.
But,
okay. And I'm sorry. Do we have a call? I think we got somebody want to talk to you on the line. Duran, do we have a call waiting?
Oh, we do, actually. Hold on 1 second. And it is.
You too while we got you.
Right. We got Lisa calling in. What up, Lisa?
What up?
Hey, Mr. Paula.
Hello there.
Hey, Hooper Thing staff, radio host.
Hey, how's it going?
What up?
Hey.
You got a question for Minister Paula?
Yes, I do. Minister Paula, are you familiar with the Harry Potter series? The book
yes.
series and the movies. Okay. So I have a 9-year-old daughter who loves Harry Potter. She was introduced to the one book in her class, and so she wanted to continue with the series. And so I don't know a lot about Harry Potter, but I do know that there's some witchcraft and wizardry and all that stuff. And so I'm torn as a parent, as a Christian parent. She's raised in the church. She knows Lord Jesus Christ is her Savior. But in her class, for part of her book club, is reading the series. So I kind of banned her from Harry Potter, but she's asking me again, Mommy, you know, think about it, do some research. Yes, there's some dark parts of it, but I'm mature enough to handle it. So I just want to get some spiritual advice from you. How would you handle that situation? Or what recommendations do you have?
That is a good one.
Well, let me ask you a question here. Do you let your kids go trick or treating?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, Minister Paula.
Do you let your children go trick or treating for Halloween?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What do people say about Halloween?
Yes, that it's of the devil, correct.
But they know the difference, am I correct?
Yes, they do.
And as long as you continue to show them the difference and read one of Harry Potter's books, and when you get to that point where it talks about the witchcraft, you just need to make sure your child is grounded in knowing what's right and what's wrong and what's true and what's a fairy tale.
Okay.
Because, you know, you don't want them to get to a point where they feel, well, I'm going to go ahead and read anyway and hide the book and don't say that they're reading it because they want to see what it's all about. You want to let them go ahead and let it be out in the open so that you can just be there to direct them and guide them and tell them some things are true and some things are not true. As long as they can distinguish the difference.
Okay.
You know.
Yes. Well, she is over here cheesing. She has actually said,
"I know."
She
That's a wise
here.
Counsel.
Hey, to piggyback off of Minister Paula said, the whole country of Mexico banned Harry Potter from the theaters and from the publishing of the books because they do not want nothing to do with it. They think it's pure witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You always got some nice, like, intellectual detail. Like, I love that.
Hey, but you know what, Lisa? I think you should, because that's how I started with Harry Potter. It was read to me in class, and we did like a little book club on it. And then after that, I was hooked. And so I watched all the videos and stuff like that, and
me
got
too.
What I need from it. And it's still a Christian, still ain't turned on Jesus.
Yeah,
I ain't got
no
magic.
Me too. Me too. I tried, but it ain't happened. No, the only magic I got is Jesus. Jesus.
Oh,
well, that's why we need to get him saved. At the end of the show, Durant's going to dedicate his life for real this time.
Shut up. I've been
dedicating
my life to the
Lord. Thank you, Minister Paula. I do appreciate the follow-up questions you have for me because it does make sense. You know, we celebrate Halloween. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we don't celebrate. You know.
We get it in on Halloween. We get it in.
You get your candy. We understand.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Well, thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
We have time for any more questions, or do we have another caller on the line?
I think that was our only caller. So
is that it? Okay. So real quick, because I think we're running out of time, but I need to know, Minister Paula. So my children, we live in a very diverse neighborhood. It's multicultural, and some children, the only, I have a seven-year-old, so I've got quite a few children. But the seven-year-old, his concern is that some of his friends don't believe in Jesus, they don't believe in God, and he's in there trying to convince them, and then he comes home and he's heartbroken because in his world there's a God, there's a Jesus. What are they talking about? So I try to help him to understand everybody's not going to have the same belief, but is it something? I need what you just gave, Lisa. Give me something, too, please. I need to fix it. I need what you just did for Lisa.
Well, you know, with kids, they're so impressionable and they get so heartbroken when people don't want to listen to this man. They talking about this man named Jesus, and you're not understanding what I'm talking about. But the one thing I have found is that I don't care what we believe or what we don't believe. Even if you talk to an atheist, one day they are going to believe, because when trouble comes into your life or something happens, everybody calls on a higher power. And the only thing you can do is keep letting your child know that there is a God and that everybody does not believe. But that does not stop you from continuing to tell people. And don't get upset. Try to talk to them about not being upset when people don't believe, because one day they too will be believed.
Okay.
Wow. Thank you so much, Minister Paula. This interview was fantastic. Thank you so much. We will talk to you next week for What's the Word. You bring it every week. This interview was awesome. I loved it.
Awesome.
I think we all
it was blessed. Thank
everybody
you.
Everybody loved it.
Thank
you. End y'all with a clap, because you know, I love ending out with a clap.
Yay!
Those
kids need to go to bed.
Yes, they're tired.
We love you, Minister Paula. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
All right. Love you, too.
Thank you.
Love you. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. That was something. Deran, are you ready to
yes,
further
about
your
to go. Whatever. Yes, yes, my Jesus.
You're like running on for Jesus. Oh, Lord. He's about to go cut on RatchetTV.com.
Whatever.
We have to pay bills.
We do, actually. No, we do. We have to go pay some bills. So HooperThingRadio.com to visit us on our website. Call in number is 347-324-5098. Also, you can like us on Facebook and Instagram. Stay tuned, because what's next is What's the Latest. And you can go to blogtalkradio.com/HooperThingRadio to listen to this show and past shows. Came back from our wonderful interview with Minister Paula, and so now we're going into What's the Latest. If you want to chime in, you know you can call in at 347-324-5098. So, y'all know I never kind of bring What's the Latest. I don't know why, but I just never bring it. But today, I'm going to bring What's the Latest. And so, for today, It's about the satanic books that's handed out to the U.S. kids after religious freedom ruling. So if you guys haven't heard about this, what happened was, let me give you a brief description. And it's the Satanic Temple has responded to the Orange County, Florida decision to pass out religious materials in public schools by creating complementary materials that exposes the physiology and practice of satanism. So last month, a Florida judge ruled in the Orange County School District that if Christian groups are allowed to pass out Bibles and Christian-orientated religious materials in the schools, that they have to also allow atheist groups to do the same in our schools now. And so David Williamson, who is in charge of the Central Florida Free Thought Community, he sued the district over its initial unwillingness to allow atheist literature with titles like Jesus is Dead and Why Am I Not a Muslim in schools. A judge dismissed this case after the school board decided to allow the materials. And so now after all of this, now the Satanic Temple kind of took advantage of this ruling when they now allowed them to go in, and they're like flooding the schools down in Florida, and I'm emphasizing on the word flooding, with their first book entitled The Satanic Children, Big Book of Activities, that contains kid-friendly satanic lessons. How do you guys feel about that?
Wow.
I'm going to leave the state of Florida. We're basically moving out. We're not going to be there anymore. Because there's no way humanly possible I can let that go on and let my kids get that type of poison in them. That's not. I got enough time fighting Satan as it is. Now I got to fight it with my kids too. We will leave.
We would need to, yeah, we couldn't. But, I mean, and then, but see, you got so many different things. You know, it's the government. You don't want the government to have all this control, so therefore you have freedom of speech. So now if you want to put a muzzle on one group of people, then you need to be able to muzzle, you know, everybody. If one person can believe in their thing, then somebody else has a right to their thing, too. I think it puts a real perspective on whatever you believe. I don't know, because this country was founded on In God We Trust, right? So,
right.
I don't know. It's a sticky situation because I believe in God. I'm not shy about that. But do everybody have a right to push whatever they believe on somebody else? If I can push my belief on somebody else, why can't somebody else push their belief?
It's
not comfortable. But,
and that's what they basically were. That was the grounds that they were standing on to get this passed. But my thing is that you take God out of schools. You take, like, people can't even say the word God in schools. You take it out of the Star Spangled Banner? I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
No. You can say God. You can't say Jesus. You can say
Jesus.
God.
I'm sorry.
They took them out of school.
You can't say Jesus. And you take them things out of, thank you for correcting me, you take them things out of the schools, and then you allow satanic things into the schools. And then you wonder why you got kids blowing up the schools, coming in, shooting the schools, coming in, hanging themselves, going home, committing suicide. Because you're letting demons and you're letting these things roam inside of these schools because you're trying to be politically correct. And
but
that's a big quotation mark over that.
We have to handle our children properly at home because they're going to be faced with all kind of stuff when they get in the street. So that's what Minister Paul was saying. If your children see you living an example, they're going to get information, but they're not going to come home, you know, off in left field. So you have to lead by example. You can't stop all the bad news from coming your way. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
But you can monitor it.
Right. And I agree with you, but I got something to chime in on that now. Most times I agree with Vivian, but I'm going to have to go at it a little bit. The first thing is like when you're facing up against this satanic temple and that shoving this down your throat, it goes back to that early part of the show, probably like two or three shows ago, where 8 hours out of the day, your kids are away learning about Satan. You see what I'm saying? And then you get home, in the 3 to 2 hours you spend with them, how much Jesus is you pushing down them, or are you helping them with their homework and sending them to bed? Oh, yeah, don't forget to say your prayer. You know,
right.
It's almost like if they're doing that, you got to push so much Jesus back into them because you're fighting against the devil in your own battle. So now you got to fight it with your kids that you only get 3 to 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Okay,
what about
all the crimes that's being committed, and they committing them in the name of God, because we got twisted. I don't know if y'all saw the movie Kingpin, but it just we talked about people committing, and President Obama talked about it too, killing people and waging war in the name of God. So you got people doing satanical things in the name of God too. I mean, where does it end? What do you
for What I will say is, because we're going to have to get off in a minute, but what I will say is in the Bible, it says we're in our last and evil days. And all this stuff is doing nothing but just proving it as time goes on. And we just got to stay prayed up, make sure your kids stay prayed up, pray over your kids. And I know for me and my family, and I'm not talking about my unit, I'm my whole family, Hooper Thing Radio, all of us, what we do know is that the things that we are able to accomplish and do is because of the prayers of my great-grandmother. You know, how she used to pray over us and pray for our spouses and pray for our kids and, you know, our kids. So that's what you have to do. Stay just prayed up as much as possible. Stay prayed up and read your Bible. That's your sword and shield. So no matter what comes your way or what happens, and if your kids come in.
On the arm of God.
Correct. And keep some holy oil in your house. I just learned that. So if you come in and you feel the spirit on your kid, you better throw it on their head in the wind and rebuke the name of Jesus. You better have them up in there sleeping. Trying to tell you. Come on,
hey,
over
listen,
here.
If you ever go down there and visit D-Ring, he's going to throw some oil on your face and you're going to be like, I just got my hair done.
Hey, I'm on my way, D-Ring. You know, you up here blowing whistles. I said in the beginning of the season, I had to come and check out your lifestyle. I will be there for our next show. I will be in your
please,
city because I need to
yes.
see what's going on. Yes.
We're
going to
be doing the show together.
I'm checking out my little cuz. And I will be reporting back.
For you.
Either he's going to be a suspect, I'm packing him up,
right,
and I'm bringing him back with me.
Folks, please know, if they out there in the city of San Diego getting chased, he's getting a whistle blown, and she's out there with him while he's throwing holy oil on people, please pray for him, because they're going to need Jesus.
Because he is not ride or die, so I'm going to be down there scrapping all by myself.
You, as long as you know, I would throw some holy oil and run in a minute, let Jesus take care of it, just keep it moving. No, but we got to end our show. I'm excited because next week we will be doing a show together, me and VM. I cannot wait. But we have to get out of here before the show ends, and we want to say thank you to Minister Paula for her word of
thank
the week,
you.
Like always. And thank you so much, Minister Paula, for being on the show today and for your interview. We just want to say thank you so much for that, and we'll talk to Minister Paula next week for her What's the Word again. Also, you can also go to our website, hooperthingradio.com, to know more about the show, or to blogtalkradio.com/hooperthing to listen to this show and also past shows. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and Instagram, #hooperthingradio, and make sure you stay tuned for next week, same time, same place, because our show will be about taking control of your day and life, and we'll be interviewing career coach Kamal Webster. So stay tuned next week and make sure that you guys are here and alive because we have another great interview scheduled for next week.
We do.
So until next time, keep God in your minds and in your hearts, and we love you and stay blessed.
When you want to know the news, but got the radio blues, from the question of the day to the rants and the raves, got your favorite thing.
It's a Hooper Thing.
Nobody does.